If you've ever felt like life is one curveball after another, that you're holding on to so much history and trauma that it's just hard to feel light, today's episode is for you. My guest talks about everything she's walked through, all the trauma that she's experienced in her life, and that she still could continue to find God working in her life. Today's episode is honest, it's raw, and it's real. If you want to be reminded of how God meets us in the messy middle, how God meets us in the hard moments and in the hard seasons, and how we can still come out of those seasons for even better things that God wants for us, today is going to encourage you and inspire in your own life and your own walk. Welcome to Faith Fueled Living, the podcast that equips you to live well spiritually, emotionally, physically, and purposefully. Each week, we'll dive into conversations and biblical truths to help you strengthen your faith, pursue meaningful work, care for your whole self, and live aligned with what matters most. Hi, today on the show, I would like to welcome our guest, Hillary Momberger Powers. She is such a diverse woman, a motivational speaker, an inspirational speaker. She's a commercial actress and a print model. She's also guest starred in television shows and featured films. And when she was a younger, she also was the voice character of Sally in many of the Charlie Brown shows. She's also an author of several children's books, and she has her memoir coming out, Peanuts to Percocet, Notes on a Hollywood Childhood. And I'm excited for this conversation today because we're going to talk about a lot of things, but we're going to talk about how, you know, where do we really find our fulfillment from? Where does that come from? And how do we get out of chasing for more when it doesn't really fulfill us? We're going to talk about continuing to step into new roles and new seasons. And we're just going to talk about how do we get out of those hard seasons or those hard things in life, especially when things are not always rosy or black and white. So I'm excited because she has a beautiful short story to share. And I love that she continues to do lots of diverse and beautiful things in the world. So Hillary, welcome to the show.
Gosh, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate being able to share my voice and to share. I always like to say I'm trying to crack the egg so you can find your light. You know, yeah. I want you to find my light. I want to help you find your light. And I wasn't always this bright and cheery. You know, I've had many, many dark moments of the ebb and the flow and the valleys and the peaks and the up and the down. And, you know, I was raised around a lot of trauma, which is like, The word of the day is trauma, narcissist, you know, trans, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I grew up, I'll give you a little background about me, just give you an idea. You know, when I was raised in a very big family, a big Catholic family, there were seven kids. I had a mother who was raised in New York City, and she was one of those like, and here's Jackie. She was a Jackie Gleason girl. So she was raised in the 30s to be this beautiful woman that introduces everybody else. And her father wasn't going to let her do that because girls are not supposed to do that. They need to become school teachers, you know, the usual. And so my mother stepped down from that being in the role and decided to get married. And she met my father at a My mother went to Barnard. My father went to West Point. They were very smart. They were Mensas. And they thought, I guess we should get married. And, you know, they both had a bit of a drinking problem. It was more acceptable back then, but she crossed over that line and, you know, drink, fight. And you know what happened after that? Seven children later. And, you know, my mother was also, for the lack of a better word, a narcissist. So she had these kids and she really didn't want to have children, but it was how she got some approval and praise and having all these beautiful kids and lots of them. And you know, she got praised all the time. And she used to say to us, I had to give up my career for you damn kids. So, you know, when growing up for me, you know, as a kid, I start developing who my character is going to be based on my parents. So here's a mother that I've already disappointed just from coming out of her. So I put in the back of my, call it my elevator music, which I use in my later years, which is I'm a pain in the butt and I'm a nuisance and I'm not really wanted. So I stick this, I tuck this deep down in my little fear chest that, you know, I'm never going to get there. I'm not enough. Will she love me? Am I? And so, you know, my mother decides to take us, there were four children at the time, down to Hollywood. We were living in Los Angeles because she wants to make the kids famous so she could feel famous. So lo and behold, I look like Shirley Temple. I don't take any credit for it. You know, it was God's gift and God's curse at the time, I thought. And I went on my first audition and I booked the role as Sally in Charlie Brown Peanuts. And I had no idea what this was. All I know is I got to meet new people and I got candy. I'm a kid, right?
Yeah.
So I get to do this role. Now, my mother, because she was such a slave, we call her a slave driver. She used to say, now, you know, if you don't make this commercial coming up, your brothers and sisters are going to star. So all of a sudden I put it, oh my God, I got to take care of the world. Now all these little tidbits of information become the principles I live by. I have to take care of people. I have to be perfect. I have to smile and look cute. And at all costs, don't show your feelings because you won't be able to, it's not profitable. That my little fear bucket. And I start start building a character based around a lot of fear. There was a lot of drinking. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of normalcy that happens today. But back in the day, you didn't talk about it. Today, we throw all our dirty laundry everywhere and we hope someone else will clean it up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But so back in the day, it was all secrets. So I learned how to keep secrets. I learned how to pretend everything's fine. I learned how to smile. I learned how to do whatever you wanted because I know that I'll be accepted. I'll be loved. And if I'm not, I'll try harder. I'll be better. I'll smile, dance faster, whatever it took. So I grew this character at such a young age. And I don't even know I'm doing it, you know?
Right.
And so as the years went on, I made a lot of money and I realized my mother wasn't saving any. So now I start building in, you know, I talk a lot about trauma because I've done a lot of trauma work.
Yeah.
I was blessed to work underneath John Bradshaw, work at a drug rehab when I was in my 20s for healing of teenagers. And I was so broken when I had started working there. It was like, I needed to be in that hospital. I never told anybody because I'm fine. Everything's okay.
Right.
So I had done all these commercials. I lied about it when people would say, aren't you on that TV? Because back in the day, there were like four channels. I'm 63, so I'm a couple minutes old. And, you know, there were four TV channels, not 185, you know?
Right.
And so I was on TV a lot and my friends would say, aren't you on that commercial? And I go, no, it's my sister. Because I wanted to just be a kid. Yeah. I wanted to blend in. I wanted to feel a sense of community. Yeah. And I didn't know how to get there because I was placed in a position that if you look good on the outside, the world will believe you are what you look like. Mm-hmm. And so I built this character not wanting anyone to know that I was dying inside. I was dying inside way before I took a drink. And I'm in recovery and I started my journey in 83, which took me into Al-Anon and adult child of alcoholics. I did the inner child work. I've done a lot of stuff because I'm hungry for comfort.
Yeah.
And so back in the day, my way of feeling good was always, if I did good, would I feel good? So I talk about my funnel's on backwards. Like I see the life, like the funnel is like, when I get over there, I'll be good. When I make that, get that job and I make that grade and I dress this way and I look this way and I act this way and I get the right boyfriend, the right husband, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was 16 and I had a boyfriend that said, Hillary, your funnel's on backwards. You see life backwards. And there was my first little angel, my painful, I call it the painful angel, where I have to pause and go, oh, maybe you're right. And so over the years, I've slowly turned this around so I can see the big picture. It's not the outside that's going to make me feel okay. It's the inside. So I go through this time where I'm good girl turns bad. Mother gets so disappointed that I don't want to be an actor anymore. So now she starts sending me to juvenile hall for assault and battery because she hits me, I hit her back. And now I start acting out. And in trauma, you take on three roles because it's reptilian brain, live or die. Am I going to die? Am I going to live? Am I going to eat? Is it good or bad? Black, white, red, blue. The duality is this pendulum that swings from I'm alive to I'm going to die. So we pick a character. My character is in that triangle. I call it a triangle of trauma. There's the people pleaser at the top. There's a loner. And then there's the controller. I have to pick a character so I feel safe. Mm-hmm. So I become the people pleaser. I start doing whatever you want. I buy you things. I take care of you. Because I think if I do this on the outside, then I'll feel good. Yeah. Now, and later we switch around. Then I become the loner. I become the drug addict. I don't care. I hate myself. Nobody loves me. Or I become the controller. You got to be what I think you are. You got to look right, act right, be right. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel okay. Can you please be the good child? Can you please be the good boyfriend? Can you just say what I want you to say? And if you don't, off with your head. Off with your head. The queen says you're out of here. So I go through all these. And I don't even know that I'm in trauma all growing up. I just think this is my life.
Yeah.
Now, I was introduced to... You know, as a kid, I went to catechism. I was confirmed, Bernadette. And, you know, I did the whole spiel. And I remember thinking, if this is my mother and father's dad, God, I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. We would go to church. We'd all look good. It's very important for you to play the part. Remember, I'm wearing all these masks. I don't even know that I'm not even Hillary. I'm whatever you want me to be. Who do you want me to be?
Yeah.
And so I put on these masks and I would go to church and everyone would say, oh, you have such a great family. She would say, I love my children. And I'd say, no, you don't. You hate us. You beat us. And then we'd go back to beyond the curtain and we'd live this very violent, angry, police coming, drunks, fights, blood. I mean, it was just like a house of horrors. Yeah. And then I put this mask on and go, how are you? Great. What's that bruise from? Oh, I fell down. So I would have to lie. So I learned, I build a character way before I drink. I'm a liar. I don't even know it. I'm a people pleaser. You know, I'm always afraid. I'm biting my nails to the quick. I've got blisters on my fingers from stress. And I'm always anxious. And my mother would say, stop fidgeting. We called it fidgeting. Now they call it ADD. But stop moving. Can't you just relax? Well, I'm so stressed inside. I don't know that it becomes my character.
Yeah.
You know, my thoughts, I'm fearful, become a feeling. I don't feel good. And then I act out and it becomes my character. I'm stressed out and I check out. I please you. I'm not satisfied. I hate myself. I try to kill myself. And here is a girl that you turn on the TV and I look like this happiest thing ever. Well, isn't that kind of what our world is like today? We have this veneer of like, how are you? Great. And I learned that. I'm really good at one-liners. Like, oh, amazing. Wonderful. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Best day ever. And I'm dying inside. I don't even know that I'm dying inside. So when I found drugs and alcohol at 13 years old, I didn't do it to feel good. I did it not to feel. I was already feeling so bad inside. And I would go to church and I would say, I want nothing to do with this God. No, my mother would say, you're going to purgatory. You're in purgatory. You're going to hell. And I thought, oh my God, oh well, oh well.
Yeah.
All bets are off. Might as well have a good time doing it. So I chose, I made a decision based on my fear, because I'm driven by fear, that this is the life I'm going to lead. So from this illusion that I'm this happy cartoon character and this happy commercial girl, and I'm doing doll voices. You pull the string, hi, Dottie, Tiny Tears, Baby Beans. And I'm like, hi. But the truth of the matter is I'm a liar. Yeah. I don't even know I'm a liar.
No, what kid does?
No, I kid. Mean, I'm just trying to be a good little girl. Because I really, what am I hungry for? Love. I'm starving for love, acceptance, joy. Yeah. I'm starving and I don't know where to get it.
Yeah.
But on the outside, because I think my life is out here. No, my living, I live out here. My life is in here. Yeah. I don't know any of this. All I know is I'm searching. It's almost like climbing up the ant pile. I think I'm going to get there. Am I there yet? Am I there yet? You know? And so I become stunted. I become so feared that I never emotionally grow. But I keep acquiring things that represent adulthood.
Yeah.
But inside, I don't even know where to go because I'm manning my mind that's so fractured and so pained. I have a hurt mind. All my memories are painful. I have some good stuff. I have those times when I would take my horse and I would go out and I'd have my pony. I'd talk to it and I'd feel a sense of relief. And then I'd have to go back to my life.
Right.
So I never got that guidance, which I've gotten from God. But I never got that as a child. I never got it in my teen years. And I got it when I finally gave up. So when I was 14, I ended up going to juvenile hall for assault and battery on my mother. And I left there. I've been to 9 high schools. I never graduated until 28. I got my GED. But I lied to get into college in between because I've become a liar.
Yeah.
It's part of my character. I don't even know that this is my character. I just think I'm smart and I'm figuring it out. How many times have we said, I'm just going to figure it out? No, you're a manipulator and you're a liar. So I ended up going to a foster home and there was some sexual abuse going on in there. So I didn't want to stay. And I remember my foster mother, I'd gotten out of foster care and I was looking out the window and it was cloudy. And I said to her, wow, it feels so weird. It's so cloudy. And she said to me, oh, honey, that's the first time you noticed anything outside of yourself that's real. I was like, whoa. I remember storing that. First of all, what I got out of that is a complete stranger acknowledged me. I kept going to my fractured, hurt, maimed family members for love. And I didn't know that the complete strangers could guide me back home, which is in here. And I didn't know that. I kept thinking I had to get it from my mom, my dad. So I kept getting hurt over and over and over. Now, my father was gone all the time because he had 7 children and he was working around the clock trying to support my mother, who was a spender and a shopper and a fixer and a drinker, and he was constantly putting fires out until he couldn't do it anymore. And then my mother got involved with a drug addict who was brought crystal meth into California in 1973. So it's from West Point, you know, to white trash. It was awesome. What a curve. That's like, I'm happy to the end of the world. So I'm still in this trauma and all I know is I got to survive. So I lived in this foster home and I live on the streets. I lived in Compton, North Long Beach. I live in a warehouse. I sold pots and pans on the side of the freeway, Corningware, you know, I'd sell them for $20. I get to keep $5. I sold drugs. I eventually started selling myself and I did whatever it takes to survive.
Yeah. And
by the time I was 21, I was working in a doctor's office and I was just working because I'm a worker. I grew up working. Mm-hmm. I always had to go, 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 go. I don't know what it means by pause. That's scary for me because there's no busy work, you know? I'm a human doing, I'm not a human being. I got to do, do, do. And by the time I was 21, I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in myself. My family wanted nothing to do with me. I had quit my job because I knew I was going to get busted for selling the drugs outside the back door. And, you know, I was selling speed. I was working for weight control. I'm bulimic. I'm throwing up 10 times a day. I can't keep food in me. I'm so fractured emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. And I hit bottom. And I overdosed on a fire escape in Venice. And I went into a grand mal seizure. And I looked up and I said, if there's a God, please don't let me die. They stopped. I still get chills. I would love to say, and then I rose to heaven. But that was just the first time my egg got cracked and light started shining in. And from there, I got sober. I started doing things where I went back to school and I started doing things on the outside. And my mentor used to say, if you fail to improve your spiritual life, your outside life is going to become your life. And I'm like, I'm different because, you know, I'm 20 in my 20s and I still know it all, you know, closed mind. If you know everything, you can't receive anything. So I'm like, I know. My favorite, the girls I work with, I coach women. I'm like, you are not allowed to say I know to me. Because if you knew, you wouldn't be on this call. Be open to receive totally different information, which I call my hope chest. Yeah. So I go ahead and I, my life builds up. I go back to college. I find out that I can draw. So I go to art school and then I decide not to finish because I'm a fine artist. I thought I was a visual artist. And then I went to film school and my life got really big. I didn't want to be an actor because I had been Me Too'd. I've got those stories because I don't know how to say no. I'm still living in trauma. I'm a people. Yeah. Oh, you want me here? Okay. You love me now. And, you know, I got married really early and are you my daddy? And I've done some things that, you know, women do, like, you know, I didn't keep children that were given to me. Let's just say it that way. Yeah. I get to feel the pain of that. I got to make amends to God.
Yeah.
If I knew better, I would have done better. I get to be forgiven, not by me. I love when women say, I just need to forgive myself. No, babe, you need to go to the source that created you to forgive you. So now you can live a life of forgiveness.
Right.
So I went ahead and, you know, at a certain point, my life got really big. And I thought that I got this. And yeah. I didn't need to keep taking care of myself. You know, I talk about being a Cadillac. It's kind of, for some reason, I like cars. I don't even have a great car, but I like cars. But I'm a Cadillac. And my Cadillac's got broken windows. I got busted tires. I got no gas. I have no oil. I've got, you know, the alternator. I need upholstery. But I want to be a Porsche.
Right.
So I've lived my life trying to be a Porsche. And so today I know that if I just take care of my Cadillac and I keep redoing it and I keep it maintained, I get to be the best Cadillac that God made me.
Right.
And so I ended up coming back to getting sober again. And at that point, I said I was willing to do everything. And so I started picking apart my mind and allowing myself, you know, when I was working at this rehab, when I met John Bradshaw and was given this inner child work, I believe in a lot of inner child work. Like my little girl is still hurt. Uh-huh. She's always going to have memories of pain. Yeah. It's not going to go away just because I went to therapy. I'm a Porsche now. I'm still a Cadillac.
Yeah.
I've learned how to self-soothe. It's okay, honey. I always say, you know, when they say you need to reparent yourself, I'm thinking, I don't want to be my mom. My dad was never there. So I say, I'm going to be the best foster mother ever. So I'll do things like, you know, and like I said, in trauma, when we're in this cycle, it's the trauma cycle. I don't know how to stop it. I know how to crash and burn. I know how to be black or white. Well, when you get into the recovery woman, I get to get into the gray zones. So now I build a new triangle. The triangle is all about what it's like on the outside, but you're in the inner. So in order for me to calm my trauma, because I can have trauma, I can get on the freeway right now and go straight into trauma. I'm like all planning. I'm like driving my car and the guy in front of me. Move it over to the right. Can't you drive? And I go into that.
Yeah. Fight or flight.
Just
or like beyond. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what do I do with that? I can't only go to me. I've learned to go to a power greater than me, which I call God for the better sake of the word. So God, please help me be here right now and help me drive the car. I'm driving the guys in front of me. Here I go. I'm up to old tricks. Can you help me be the woman that you want me to be? And how I do that is I take my senses. Remember when we were a kid, we're in the kindergarten, your mother, the teacher goes, are you tired? Do we need a nap? We're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want some milk? You want some cookies? You want to lay down? You want to pet the dog? You want to draw something? Oh, take a deep breath. Everybody take deep breaths. Well, that's like 101.
Yeah.
I get to reparent that little girl who goes into trauma. And I go, have I had anything to drink today? Did I drink water today? Oh, wow. I forgot to drink water today. Stabilize. Mm-hmm. Have I eaten today? Did I get some fresh air? Did I get some sunshine? Did I pet the dog? Did I put some nice music on? Worship music is great for me because it takes me, it makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
Makes me feel secure. You know, have I prayed today? So I start to stabilize myself with these simplicity things like anything I can see, taste, touch, feel. Pet the dog. It calms me. It stabilizes me. And when you're in trauma, that's the last thing you are. You're not stabilized.
Yes.
Run or gun, ready for Freddy. I don't care. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. You have these traumatic relationships where fix me. You're not doing it. I hate you. I'm leaving. We cut and dry. We cut people out because I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. So I get to tap into a power greater than my terror, which is higher. I become lighter. I enlighten myself. I go to this power and I say, God, help me just be here right now.
Yeah.
I soothe myself. And once I get to that stabilizing point, then I can reemerge and have community where I can feel a sense of belonging. I can call my friends. How are you? I listen to them instead of wah, 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 drama, drama, victim, victim, victim. I'm taking care of myself. I'm no longer victimized. Mm-hmm. And then I get into that community. I have a sense of belonging, maybe church, PTA, Boys and Girls Club, you know, whatever, the book club, your fellowship. Every Friday, the girls go out. Every, you know, whatever that is, you have a sense of community. Mm-hmm. And when I get there, all of a sudden they go, hey, Hillary, it's so great seeing you. Self-worth. Oh, you miss me? Oh my God, you're so fun. I had such a great time. What are you doing? I start building self-worth, self-esteem. Now I start building on my esteem.
Yeah.
Once I build on in my esteem and I'm praying the whole time, God, this is great. I have friends. I always say, if you're not relating to God throughout the day, you don't have a relationship.
Yep.
I hear people say, I pray in the morning, I pray at night. I'm like, dude, what do you do 23 hours and 39 minutes, right?
With you. Yes.
Who are you with? You.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to be with God all the time. Yeah. When I get stressed and I feel that in my gut, I'm like, I go, God, 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 God.
Yeah.
And that's how I anchor myself.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, you know, we all have our winding past and stories, but, you know, yeah, they're, like many other people, you do. There's a lot there, right? It's a lot that you walked through, and we don't get to pick what we walk through, at least most of, you know, at least for many decades, most of the time. But thank you for sharing that. I know that you openly, regularly share, you know, your past and your story, because that is who you are today comes somewhat from what you had to walk through and then what you did to overcome, or at least when I say overcome trauma, I know that, like you said, it's still a part of you, but you overcome it, that it does not control you.
Right. I'm not leading yes. with it. I'm
That's right. It's still a piece of you, but it's not. Yeah. And, you know, you brought up so many things that are relevant. One, you know, I also grew up Catholic as well. I don't go to Catholic church anymore, but, and while I didn't have those kind of experiences like that, the point is I think a lot of people say at some point in their lives, they experienced religion. And by that, I mean, I don't mean if you're Catholic or this denomination, you know, that's not my point. It's that you can practice religion, mm-hmm. which is kind of what you were saying. Like we went and checked the boxes, but mm-hmm. I didn't understand having a relationship, deepening my faith. Right. And so that's the difference that I think a lot of us, some of us maybe when they were little had that, but I think as we grow in our faith, you start realizing, oh, it's about a relationship. Right. And that's what you found later is that relationship with God, you know, and then with people too, that you could feel safe and trust, you know, as you healed yourself. And so, you know, I think one, that's the thing is to remind people, you know, if they are at a place where maybe they're still going through something hard or still have stuff they're holding on to, right? Because they don't know how to navigate maybe something that is still chained to them, right? Whether that's a traumas or addiction or shame or anger, whatever it is, right? We all have something that's tried to hold us. It's that, you know, one, there's hope. And two, when you find somebody that you can trust and confide in, we need those people, right? Whether that's friends or whether that's a professional or both. And then there is the opportunity to deepen our faith and understand, you know, how having that relationship, like you said, or not so many words, but it fills us in a different way, right? Because, you know, you talked about kind of chasing the things and we've all, I mean, in culture, we understand that. Like we are taught in culture to want the accolades, to get the accomplishment, to get the next title, you know, whatever, the bigger house. But the problem is you'll get it. And then you go, well, once I, right, get the role or once I, that you'll, we'll feel fulfilled and we'll feel like I did it, but we never do, not fully. I'm not saying those things are bad in and of themselves. They're bad if we're looking for our purpose and our identity and our fulfillment there, and not bad, but you know what I mean? We're not going to get it. Right. It's when we realize, like you said, there's someone above us, right? Our creator, God, who that's where, you know, as they say, there's like a little hole in our heart and it's to be filled by that relationship, you know, at least from obviously, you know, the Christian lens, which is what we're both kind of talking about here. And so, yeah, it's so beautiful. And it is a work in progress, just like we are, right?
Totally. It's, you know, there's a difference between accepting and admitting.
Yeah.
Admitting is a half-heartedly surrender. Mm-hmm. I admit I need God. I admit I'm flawed. Mm-hmm. But there's always the ego that's going to hold on to it because I'm still playing God here.
Yeah.
If I don't have that relationship, I'm going to still play God. And it's in the wholehearted when I accept I need God.
Yeah.
He is my creator. He has left a little piece in me of me. There's my hope chest.
Yeah.
I keep going outside of myself. You know, I talk about having a hope chest. It's not just for things like my mentor said to me when I was 23. You got to be one thing. You got to go because I went to nursing school. I didn't want to do it. I did it. I worked in the hospital for 8 years. And then I wanted to be an artist and I didn't finish it. She said, you got to pick one thing. And I said, how can I pick one thing when God has given me so many different desires? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So I allow myself to reinvent myself.
Yes.
But my power is not my power.
That's right.
My source is here. He will give me everything I need to get to my next indicated step.
That's correct.
But if I don't have a relationship where I say, God, you know, when I first started building back or building a real foundation, which is solid, my relationship, I would say things like, God, I don't even know if you're here. I don't even believe in you.
Right.
I'm feeling pretty crappy right now. Can you show yourself to me? Mm-hmm. But every time I would do that, let it be a little kid laughing and giggling. I saw, oh, there's joy. Like this kid is so hopeful. Maybe I can be. Or I'd see a butterfly. Or all of a sudden someone I loved called me, I'd be like, okay, is that odd or God? All right, maybe it's God.
Yeah.
And I started realizing that the more I commune with him, break bread, have a relationship, praise, pray, gratitude, and communion. Those three things. I started praying and saying, God, I don't know if you're here right now, but you know what? Thanks for such a sunny day.
Yes.
And boom, all of a sudden, my day got brighter.
Yeah.
Gosh.
That's right. Because what you start to learn, you know, obviously we all are on a different journey and we learn things at different times. Some of us have to keep learning the same lesson over. I mean, not to our own, you know, not saying it's a fault, right? It's just how our life unfolds. Mm-hmm. But you learn that the more we stay in awe, the more we stay in gratitude, the more that we focus on him and the things that he's created around us, whether that's a person and a beautiful conversation, like you said, nature, what we focus on becomes our reality, right? And so if our reality is always, I'm going to be dragged down because I'm pissed off this morning because I had a conversation with my husband and it didn't go well, whatever, I'm just, you know, making
yeah, right. up,
then it's like, I could bring that into the rest of my day, or I can be like, you know what? Maybe I did come across in a way I didn't mean to, you know, I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And then like, get on with my day, not focus on this one thing, whatever the thing was.
Yeah.
Or like, my life sucks. You know, it's like, there's truth. They say, if we think something, we are helping that to be the reality, not something better. That's why they don't say you're broke all the time, or don't say like, oh, I look so ugly. Like, no, you have to speak life into yourself and into your life.
In Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, he who thinketh, remember what you think you bring to fruition.
That's right.
So we need to watch our thoughts. They become feelings. Feelings become an action. Action becomes my character. You got to be really mindful. Like, I need to put, not my stuff. I need, you know, the power of the sword. That's the word. Like, put the words of happy things in your head, you know?
That's right.
And I've been through, you know, I had my brother, my love of my life, my brother died of AIDS. And I questioned God then.
Yeah.
My father killed himself. I mean, I've had some stuff happen. My mother died homeless, my sister of an overdose. I never questioned God was not there for me. I just picked out, thank you, God, for giving me. My mother was my biggest enemy. I'm so grateful for my mother. I have forgiven her because she made me into the woman that I am. If, you know, iron sharpens iron. She really helped me be who I am. And you know, thank you for giving me my time with my brother. Like, gratitude, prayer and gratitude, supplication. You supplied me with so much love. You showed me that I could have an intimate relationship. My husband today loves me the way my brother loved me. Like, oh, now I have an example. Thank you, God.
Right.
You know, my father taking his life, I don't have a judgment. That's between him and God.
Right.
I don't know what I would do if I got Alzheimer's and my life fell apart. Yeah. I have empathy towards him. I'm not in agreement, but that doesn't matter. That's not between me and my dad and God. So I've learned how to live my life loosely, but firmly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, you know, I talk about reinvention and passion, you know, often, at least on one of the two podcasts. And I think the thing about that is, especially for women, you know, at any age, but especially I feel like 35, 40, 45 plus, you know, I talk to so many women and it's like, they sort of, they've paused for something in their life, right? Like, whether it was career or family, both, and they kind of are like, I have these dreams and I sort of pause them, or they don't have a vision for themselves that they can keep doing new and different things or adding, you know, like I'm like you, you know, multi,
asking,
like, you know, whatever they call that, like a multi artist, whatever. So it's like God did design us that way, because guess what? He created everything. Look how many different talents, abilities he could. So it's like, why wouldn't we do have a piece of that, which is, you can be a artist that draws and play music, and you can be somebody that's articulate and can orate. Like, you can do lots of things. And I'm not saying everybody has to do that, But we are supposed to be curious and do lots of things. And we are supposed to follow our passions. And obviously, I'm talking about passions that are beneficial, right? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about like, let's go chase the worst thing that we could do. I'm not saying we haven't walked through some of those things. But, and I love that you talk about that too, because, you know, God put us here and gave us all these gifts and these talents and these interests to go do something with it in the world.
And be of service, give it to someone else, give someone else hope.
Yeah. And, but I think sometimes we forget that it doesn't, and it doesn't have to have, you don't have to say like, in other words, we're supposed to go to all the places, not just like churchy places. Meaning authors I really enjoy and pastors, Mark Batterson, you know, he talks about that. He's like, what does he say? But he talks about, we want to be creators in every area, like bring your faith. But even if you're doing work that has nothing to do with your faith, you're showing up to tell a better story. You're showing up to do better. Mm-hmm. When I say better, I just mean, be in the marketplace, like do all the things, but you're going to show up as a person of faith. You're going to show up, right? And so we're demonstrating that love and that kindness and that hope in the world. And we need more of that.
Yeah, we do. My mentors always say that you may be the only Bible or big book anybody ever sees, ever.
That's right. You know?
And then it's funny because I was very ashamed of looks, because you get judged when they think, oh, nothing's bad happened to you. So they kind of surpass you. And it's like, you know, I've learned, I don't judge a book by its cover. Like some of the most, I here's a funny story. When I'm in a different path. I'm 63 years old. So I'm giving listeners hope. Okay. I worked as a script supervisor on movies for 35 years. And then I would do acting in between. So when a show was down, I would go and do a movie and I'd go back and forth. And one day, about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I was like, I think I'm done with the film world. I think I'm done. I'm like, God, what do I do? So I just did what I have been, my muscle memory is go help somebody. So yeah. I did a lot of volunteer work. And then I moved down. I moved from Los Angeles. Didn't know a soul. And I kept thinking Romans 8:31, God for me, who could be against me? God's for me, who could be against me? So I traveled across country, went to Atlanta, didn't really know anybody. We kept saying, God's with me. God's for me, who can be against me? God's for me. So every time I would get scared, I would go see if I can help somebody else. So it took me out of my fear, kept me productive, and then I could be of service. And then one day I was like, I miss the ocean. And so I moved down to Florida, not knowing anybody again, kept saying, God's for me, who can be against me? God's for me. And then I went and joined the film crew, Film Florida, because I thought I needed to get in touch with something. At least I felt stable and knew it. It's an old story. I don't exactly want to go in it. I still model and stuff like that. And while I was there, they were all talking about film, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. Because you reach a tipping point, I'm like, oh Lord, what can I do? So I saw a woman hanging up balloons in this party area, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go talk to her. Don't know her from Adam. We start talking. She turns out to be a professor over at Nova State University. Mm-hmm. You would never... I could have judged her for hanging up balloons for this party. She was just cleaning up, right? Because that's the one with the closed mind. I already have decided who she is because I'm in charge. But I kept saying, God, just guide me. God, just guide me. And lo and behold, she asked me to come speak at the college to the graduating students in the mental health department. Mm. This is where my speaking career came. Did I design it? Nope. I was just open to receive. Yes. Because I kept that line open. God, in charge. I don't want to be in charge. Show me. Right. And I brought my excitement that my Father was going to take care of me. And look at where I'm at.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that is the thing, right? Like when we stop trying to control outcomes, which we cannot control the outcomes, we can try, but it always is a better plan that God has for us. Now, I don't mean that we're going to always see it in that moment, right? Yeah. Especially if we're walking through something hard. You know, I'm married, you know, I've been married for 26 years, but like, obviously plenty of people walk through divorce. They walk through so many things. But the point is after we come through something, He's creating something beautiful even actually in what we walk through, right? Because if some of us didn't experience something that was hard or grief or whatever it is, a disappointment, frustration, anger, then later we're not going to have the empathy right. for someone else, or we're not going to have the testimony to share with someone else, right? So while we don't want to go through it, and I'm not saying God's like saying, oh, you need to, you know, whatever, he's using it all, right? And so to your point, when we let him, we let go and let him, right? Literally. And we're just faithful. Like you said, I, you know what? I think I want to move here. I want to, you know, whether you felt the prompting or you're like, I just feel that stir in my soul, and you went. But there's opportunities waiting for us, right? There's doors open for us, but we have to be faithful to say like, okay, you know, like, I'm not going to be like you said, like, oh, I'm not going to go talk to her. Like, who is she? You just said, you know, the balloons looked fun or whatever the thing that prompted you. And you just went over to say, she's just like right there. I'll just go say hi and see what she's doing. So, right. Like, you let him lead, but just from a curiosity perspective. You know, so many of us forget to be curious and interested in people and the things around us.
And that's where it says in the Bible, it says we're supposed to have a childlike spirit, not a childish.
That's right. That's right.
Childlike spirit is like, I'm in wonder. I'm in awe. Right. And I trust God because, okay, you know, we, as you know, being a mother, we have to give kids, and even at work and our people who are working underneath us, we give them rules. Why? Because I feel safe.
Right.
So I need to, like, when I give myself rules, like, no, you know what? I'm going to show up, even though I say I'm not going to show up. It makes me feel safe. We created time. Why? To feel safe. Yeah. But when we go outside of our world and go elsewhere, there is no time for God. Right. He's like, oh, honey, it seems like 4 years, but in my world, it's right there.
That's right.
So you know, the more I pray, the more I land.
Love it. Okay. So what would be just, what else would you just want to share with, you know, the listeners, just to encourage them in life and just all the twists and turns and things we're going to walk through?
Well, you know, I don't know where I got the idea that life is going to be amazing and wonderful. Newsflash, it's not. You know, and, hello. And if you're at a place where you're trying to, you don't know where you're going and reinventing yourself, and you don't know what to do, or, you know, you're like, I hate my job. I don't like my parents. I don't like my husband, my wife, whatever. We're always going to have a state where our mind is unsatisfied.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is I get a pen and paper out and I write down everything that makes me happy, from the sound of children laughing to getting my hair washed, to the whipped cream, to popcorn with Parmesan cheese on it, to going for long walks or exercising. So I can get in touch with that grounding of joy that is all created by God. God's in my feelings. So when I get in touch with that, all of a sudden I get enlightened, I get lighter. And then I say things like, all right, God, I'm a great place. Show me where you want to go next.
Okay.
I got to get out of my heaviness of Hillary.
Yes.
And how do I do that? I put back in my mind all the joyful things that were given to me. Yeah. My God gave me my senses. That's why it's up to me to create a stabilizing, like, what makes me happy? What? And once I get that on paper, like, the pen to paper is really crazy.
It is. It's powerful.
Power. It is. Know? I love writing because it gets me out of this. It's right. Almost a streamline. I get, oh, that's right. It encourages me to go do those things. Like, I love the smell of cut grass. So I hear the lawnmower going off and I go, I'm going to go outside and smell that.
Yeah. Because
reminds me that I can create this stuff.
That's right.
And then I can go, God, show me the way, show me the way, show me the way.
Yeah. Well, also, we brought up something earlier, which was obviously we need to renew our minds. We need to be cautious of our thoughts because, of course, that creates reality. But I think when we're going through something hard, like you said, maybe we're struggling in a relationship in our lives, right? Or maybe, like you said, we're just done with work. And I'm not saying sometimes we have an unsettling because something needs to shift, whether we need to go to counseling or we need to do the work or whatever it might be. But there's other times where it's because we've gotten hardened our heart or something, but we start saying things that are actually harming our situation. Like, for instance, if it was a marriage, like, oh, my spouse, whoever, drives me crazy. Oh, I hate him. Or like, even if we don't mean that directly, we start speaking it. Oh, or if it's our job, I hate my boss. But we don't understand. We're giving power to this negativity over us instead of, it might not be right where we want, but it's like, but are you focusing on the little bits? And I'm not talking about if someone's being abused or that, this, we're not talking about that level. I'm talking about you're just getting irritated, but it's festering, right? Or your job, same. Like if you're having a toxic environment, that's a different level, right? I'm just talking about, we all are going to have these things we go through that aren't horrendous. They're just life things where you, like you said, you're just sick of it, done with it. But it's like, are you done with it? Or are you just looking at it through a lens in which, kind of like you talked about the funnel. So we need to flip the funnel over first, right? Like, are we looking at it from the lens of God? Are we looking at it like, is this still a good person? Do I still love them? Is it a safe place? But I just need to flip my viewpoint, flip the frame. Or is this something that, like, it's not going to work because there's some really serious, major bad things going on? But, you know, so sometimes I think it's because we just get stuck. It's that whole grass is greener. Like thinking, oh, they are great, whatever. But really, everybody has struggles. So the question is, how are you looking at the problem? And also the whole, is God bigger than the problem? Like, can he fix your perspective on work, or can he fix your marriage? Or do you believe your marriage is bigger than God is able to heal and fix?
You know, what's funny is, not funny, like you said, watch your thoughts. They're very, they are more powerful because it's energy. You're shifting vibrationally. It's like, you know, God created, I always say, for people that don't have faith problems, you know, the girls I work with, I'll say, okay, let's imagine this. Because you got to speak at their level, right? I mean, Jesus wouldn't talk to leopards. He didn't say, oh, you're gross, can't talk to you, right? He just spoke their language, basically, and welcomed them. So I say to the girls, I go, so if God is an energy, let's say he's a frequency. Okay, I'm sure he is. He's going to vibrate atoms and molecules at such a level, it created you.
Yeah.
So if you're vibrating at a very low level and, oh, I hate my husband, he's such, it's never going to work, it's never going to work. Remember when you were a kid and you would hurt yourself? And remember your parents saying this, everybody I ever say this to, they go, yeah. Your mom would say, oh, look at the ball. Remember when Jesus turned the other cheek?
Yeah.
Turn your attention somewhere else.
Right.
So that's why I say, if you're having a crummy day and you hate your husband, you hate your job, you hate, heavy.
Yeah.
What do you love? Change. Right. Turn your other cheek.
That's right.
Write down what you love, because you're going to enlighten. There's going to God. You're going to a higher level. Then I can never have a good day from a crummy place.
That's right.
I will never have a great relationship when I'm angry all the time.
That's right. Well, that's
not going to bring him. I'm going to bring him where I am.
That's right. Well, look, it's not like every Christian circle talks about this, but to your point, we know that in the body and water, whatever it is, there's coherence or chaos.
100% black or white.
Positive, kind, loving thoughts create coherence in our body, in our heart, all the things. And negative, bad, mean, horrible words and thoughts create chaos, even in our heart. Physically, they've shown it, right? Brain waves change.
Body, mind, spirit, everything.
Yeah. So it's all tied together. And, you know, science has proven it, but obviously God told us it way before that. But it's like both of them are showing us when what we speak, right? I mean, the Bible says that, right? I mean, the tongue has a power of life and death, and it truly does in our own lives. But it's hard to get, I mean, I would say for the first couple decades of my life, I always went to church. Like I said, I had faith, but it wasn't until I was doing more work in these spaces that, I mean, of course I knew, oh, you're not supposed to, you know, use God's whatever. But of course I did. I'm not saying I never cussed, on occasion.
Whatever, you're human.
Right. But it's like, there's a difference. I mean, like, oh crap or whatever, anything versus like saying that whole, I hate that person. I want them to, like, you are literally putting that into the world. You're putting that towards that person, and it's in you, right? And that whole unforgiveness causes serious harm to your physical body, you know, if you can't release it.
Yeah, so. No, I'm a big believer in it. It's got to go somewhere. It's going to store. Yes. It's going to store. And what happens when you think of like a, you know, the beaver who causes the logs, all that water sediment, it's like, it's not even livable. And that's kind of what we're sticking in. Are you mad at him? Oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, girl, let it out. Purge it. Let go of it. Right. Give it to God. But and the power of the
writing. Journaling is so important. It's so powerful.
Give it away. Purge it. Give it away. Give it to God. Give it to God. Not just here, God. Like, I need to connect that it's in me. I need to purge it. And then look at, why do I have it? Am I not getting my way? Look at the character that I am. And normally the underlining is, I'm afraid of not getting what I want, or I'm afraid of losing what I have. Because who do I keep going to? Me. I'm not the power all source. God is. But you got to hit the bottom. That's why we can't build a house on sand. I got it so sick and tired of me that I'm going to go help.
I know. It's so true. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for coming on and joining me today. Can you share with everybody how they can find out about, you know, all the things you're doing? I guess the website's probably the best place, but do you want to share that or anything else?
You can get me on hillarypowers.com. That's my website. If you want to book me for a keynote or you have for work, motivational, you can get me on bookhillarypowers.live. We can have a conversation. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm very available. This last chapter of my life, God has been very clear to me. It's time for me to give all the pain and wisdom away, because someone else is going to give the pain and wisdom away. Yeah. You know, I got to keep the love going. And it's only because of him I am here.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, thank you for coming on and sharing so much wisdom and your story and just all your nuggets too, just about how, you know, God came through, you know, once you went through and you battled all those things, and how beautiful. So thank you for everything you're doing in the world and for just being a bright light.
I appreciate having a conversation with you.
Thank you. I hope today's episode just encouraged you in your own faith journey. I hope that it gave you hope to know that no matter what you might be walking through, God is with you, God is in it, and God is going to bring you out the other side and continue to use you to just be the light in the world that other people need. And he's going to continue to walk alongside you and just support you and lift you up. But I also want to let you know, I have a free download for you that you can go grab now that's called Joy Rising. And it is basically just a sheet that you can download. And each day you can write down, what are you joyful for? And are you getting in the presence of God? Which allows us to experience that continuous flow of joy in our lives. So go grab that. You can go to kristenfitch.com. And when you join my email list, you can grab that. Just go to kristenfitch.com and go to my workbooks page. And that's at the very top. Go grab my Joy Rising, because it will help shift your mind and your perspective to let you experience more of God's promises and blessing and the joy that he promises us that we will have flowing out of us when we have the Holy Spirit within us. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you could leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, it helps the show get discovered by more people so that we can continue to uplift and encourage people in their faith journey as well as all of the other parts of their lives.